For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with a weekly look at the world of non-league football. It's playoff time in Step 3 and Step 4, with also the interstep playoffs deciding who comes up and who goes down from Steps 4 and 5. We speak with two managers this week, with playoffs ahead of them this bank holiday weekend as their long seasons draw to a close. Before we get to those, just let me round up with the promotions and relegations at Steps 3 and 4 as well. At Step 3, we've got champions in the Northern Premier League of Buxton, champions in the Southern Premier Central, Banbury United, champions in the Southern Premier South, Taunton Town, and champions in the Isthmian Premier, Worthing. Congratulations to all of them. Step 4, Liversedge, champions in the Northern Premier East Division 1, Ilkeston Town, champions in Midland 1, and Warrington Rylands in the Division 1 West, and champions in the Isthmian South East 1, the Hastings United, the North, it's Aveley, and the South Central, Bracknell Town. Champions of Bedford Town in the Southern Central Division 1, and Plymouth Parkway in the Southern League Division 1 South. Unfortunately, more disappointing seasons for some clubs. At Step 3, relegations from the Northern Premier for Witton Albion and Grantham Town. They're relegated, as are in the Southern Premier Central, Biggleswade and Lowestoft Town. And in the Southern Premier South, Merthyr Town and Wimborne Town are relegated. And in the Isthmian Premier, it went to the final day and East Thurrock United and Mersham were relegated, as were the Valiant Leatherhead, whose last day win was just pipped late on points per game elsewhere at Step 3. So Leatherhead are also relegated down to Step 4. And at Step 4 themselves, leaving the Northern Premier League, Kendal Town, Market Drayton, Syme Town Rangers, Wisbech Town, Frickley Athletic and Pickering Town all relegated, along with Yorkshire Amateur demoted due to ground grading issues. And from the Southern League, relegated Colney Heath, Wantage Town, Mangotsfield United and Barnstaple Town. And in the Isthmian League, Barking, Romford, Staines Town, Phoenix Sports and Whitstable Town all depart due to relegation. So a big weekend coming up with playoff finals, having had playoff semis this week. On Friday, it all kicks off Friday the 29th of April. The Isthmian League playoff in the north, it's a 7:45 kickoff between Canvey Island and Brentwood Town. And then the bulk of the games come on Saturday the 30th of April. The Isthmian League playoff in the South East final, we have Ashford United against Herne Bay. In the Northern Premier East Division promotion playoff final, Mask United take on Stockton Town. And in the Northern Premier Midlands Division promotion playoff final, Chase Town take on Belper Town. And in the West Division promotion playoff final, Runcorn Linnets against Marine. All 3 p.m. kickoffs, those ones. Then we have the Step 4 and 5 interstep playoffs, all 3 p.m. kickoffs again. We have Histon against Consett AFC, Witham Town against Saffron Warden Town, Charlton St Peter taking on Baldmore Mere at St Michael's, Lancing against New Haven Town, Kempston Rovers against Eccles Hill United, and Cinderford Town against Skelmersdale United. All those are the Step 4 clubs at home taking on the Step 5 clubs looking to secure a place in Step 4 for next season. Also, on Sunday, the 1st of May, we have the Isthmian League a playoff, a South Central final between Chertsey Town and Hamwell Town. And then on Bank Holiday Monday, the 2nd of May, the Isthmian League playoff Premier final, Hornchurch hosting Cheshunt in that one. In the Northern Premier playoff, Premier Division playoff, Scarborough Athletic hosting Warrington Town. And in the Southern League Premier Central playoff final, Peterborough Sports take on Colville Town. In the Premier South, Hayes and Yedding United host Farnborough. And in the Step 4 playoffs, Southern League Central Division, Ware host North Lee. And in the Southern Division playoff final, Winchester City host Bristol Manor Farm. So then a weekend of playoffs to come, and let's chat to some of those involved. First up, with the playoffs, we'll have a chat with one of those managers, starting the Friday evening the manager hoping to continue his current side's run and secure promotion in that Friday playoff in the Isthmian North. It's Canvey Island gaffer Brad Wellman. In less than a year in the job, he's been chalking off milestones almost every step of the way, and he's looking to finish that with promotion. Also on this week's show, on Monday, Jimmy Dean leads his team into the playoff final for the Southern League Premier Central. It's 7 years since he first took charge at Peterborough Sports with the club in Step 6. Two of those seasons were wiped out through COVID, so another promotion this time would be a truly remarkable achievement. Step 2 football, he admits, would be an even bigger challenge, but he's one that he's very keen to give a go to. Helping me pull together the rest of the week's news is Matt Backock, editor-at-large at the Non-League Paper. He joins me as we also analyse the final weeks of the National League season. So plenty to come. Sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. So let's start with step 4 then this week, as it's the first playoff of the weekend. On Friday night in the Isthmian North, Canvey Island, who finished runners-up, host Brentwood Town, who finished third in the final table. Closely matched, let's find out from manager at Canvey Island, Mr. Brad Wellman. Welcome back to the Non-League Football Show, Brad.
Hey, Tim, how are you?
Good. I think it was November when we last spoke. You'd not long been in the gaffer's job after many years in the coaching setup there at Canvey. Just before your FA Trophy game, I think, against Yaxley, you already had 3 wins and 2 clean sheets in your first games as gaffer. And you said playoffs were the aims then. You made it, and now you're just 1 game away from potentially sealing it. Are you happy with that?
Yeah, I am, yeah. To be fair, I'm happy you called me, because I think the last time we spoke was before the Yaxley game, and we went on 1-6-0. So if that's a good luck omen for me, then I'm pleased that you reached out to me today. Now, like I said back then, you know, the playoffs was our aim, and you know, we wanted to see where we could be sort of late on in the season. We felt we could have had a go and try and win the league, and we was a little bit disappointed we fell short. But you know, it's a tough division, and making sure we made the playoffs and getting to play them at home was vitally important, because we've got a great following. And now we had a great game Tuesday, and now we're all set for the final tomorrow. So yeah, we're really, really excited with what we've achieved so far, but yet we've got so much more to achieve with this one game.
I love the fact that you've achieved so much, and you're hanging out on me and being your lucky omen. I don't even think my missus is that pleased that when I talk to her. So yeah, so I look at the stats there. You just missed out to Averley, but you got 100 goals in the regular season from just 38 games. Only conceded 42 as well. Just missing out on that automatic promotion, but are the lads now in the right mindset to wrap it all up via the playoffs?
Yeah, 100%. Listen, we've got, I think, like I said back in November, you know, we had a good group of boys, and we felt that they had the ambition to go on and achieve things. And having worked with them now for the last sort of 6 months as the manager, I've seen even more their desire and their attitude to make things happen. Now they're an exciting group, and we fell short 2 games before the end of the season, probably through our own doing, really, dropping points when we maybe shouldn't have dropped points. But all of a sudden, the focus changed, and the boys sort of snapped into a gear of, okay, those 38 games are done now. Whatever happened, happened. We're now in a 2-game mini-season. We've got to win them both. Mm. And to see their change in attitude and their desire and their focus leading into the game on Tuesday was fantastic. And it just gives us a little bit of renewed energy to sort of say, you know what, we're not going to sit back and be disappointed. We're going to actually go and achieve what we set out to at the start of the season. And that was make the playoffs and ultimately get promoted. Mm.
And the journalist in me, the writer, the one, I always love the stories that go with these, you think. So, yeah, the fact that you've been involved with the club for so long, you come in as gaffer when things are going well as well, and it's very easy for things to have tipped. You say, yeah, you had that little blip, you know, a few weeks back. I mean, I guess even on midweek in the semi-final, you took a 2-minute lead and then conceded in the 65th minute. It must have been a bit nervy there. There's twists and turns, isn't there? But it's the ones that come out on the top that normally then it sort of springboards you to final success.
Yeah, there's always twists and turns, you know. I mean, one thing we've been very good at this year, like you mentioned earlier, we scored 100 goals, so we're always capable of going at teams and nicking goals and sort of killing them off really early. And when you look back at our results, when we score 2, 3, 4 goals, usually they're in a close period of time, which allows us to sort of pounce on teams. You know, Tuesday night we went straight from the start. I mean, unbelievable start, 2 minutes in. And then we had opportunities to go and really almost close the game out. I mean, we hit the post 5 minutes later. We had a point-blank header that we missed 3 or 4 minutes after that. And we had the opportunity to sort of take advantage of that. But as with the playoff games, they're different to the league games. You know, some teams sort of in the league would sit back because of our firepower, but Felix, though, had to come at us. So, you know, coming out in the second half after being so dominant in the first half, we knew they were going to come at us. It was just a case of sort of weathering that storm, which we done, albeit conceding during that time. And it was disappointing to give up the goal because it was something that we talked about. It was a set piece that we'd identified that they would potentially be a threat at. And we conceded, but then, you know, the character in the boys, we got back together and then we got our foot back on the gas and pushed on. And, you know, it was no surprise really for me that we went and nicked a goal sort of with 5 minutes left, and then 2-1 in the playoffs, they've got to throw caution to and just go for it, and they did, and we managed to nick another one on the break. So that was really pleasing. But I never doubt these bunch of boys. You know, we could be down with minutes left and we've got the confidence to come back. We had it against Barking this year where we was 2-0 down with 8 minutes left and Barking was sitting near the foot of the table and we're pushing for the title and we scored 3 goals in 8 minutes. So we've got the capabilities and I think that as a group, with the firepower we've got, we're definitely a team that should be feared of, you know?
Yeah, and you touched on it earlier there, because you finished runners-up, but you had 2 wins in your last 2 games of the season as well, I think. It gives you a home advantage, both in the semi and on Friday in the final. Do you think, does that give you an extra, like, 10% as well, to sort of to be at home in front of those fans and sort of, it almost feels even more special?
And listen, we've got a good following. We've averaged sort of over 400 fans this year at home games. They've followed us all over the county and beyond and supported us and been really vocal. And we knew that getting the home advantage for them, you know, they've spent their hard-earned money following us. So for us to get home advantage and play in front of them was vitally important first and foremost, because we knew that they'd give us that extra lift. I mean, we had over 1,000 people there on Tuesday night, and when we was going through the storm sort of with 15-minute spell in the second half, they dragged us through it. They were the 12th man. And, you know, now at home in the playoffs, we could have 2,500 people in there tomorrow night. And I think that having them, the majority of them kind of pulling for you, there's going to be periods of the game where we're going to need the crowd on our side, because we're not going to dominate the game for 90 minutes. We're being realistic there. There's times where we won't be the dominant team in the game, and that's where the fans can pull us through, and being at home just gives us that advantage. Because, you know, as I'm sure many teams would say to you in this league, I don't think there's a better set of fans than our fans in this league.
I love what, you know, I've monitored, you know, seen other interviews you've done and everything like that, and I love your one in all in philosophy as well, because I think that really does embrace and sort of cross that divide that often exists between, you know, the higher echelons at a club, the players, the management and the fans. It just brings everybody together, and, you know, as you say, you're not going to be on top all the time, but that's when you need everybody pulling together as a family.
100%, and you know, that doesn't just relate to players, management, and the fans. I mean, you know, we're going in training tonight, and the committee are there putting food on for the players. You know, and then when we're getting there at games, you've got the tea ladies that are taking care of us, and the volunteers that work for you behind the bar that look after the players and all of us, and we're all in it together. You know, If they're prepared to volunteer their time and put their effort into to help us by making us a cup of tea before the game, or providing us food after games, and and at training. And, you know, then it's got to be that one in all in mentality. You know, if we're successful and we get promoted, yeah, the players are the ones that have performed on the pitch. As the manager, my management team are the ones that have prepared the players. But listen, this promotion will be a collective of all the hard work that the entire club's put in. I mean, the chairman and the committee work tirelessly to make sure we can make ends meet and support us. And, you know, it's just that it is that one in all men. We're a family club. Yeah. And to be able to share that now with the community, you know, one thing, because we are an exciting team, one thing that has happened is we've picked up fans along the way. Community members have come out and they're really starting to follow us. So, you know, it's that community spirit that we need. And, you know, the players are not there to sort of say, oh, it's all about us sort of thing. It's all about the football club. Yeah. And that football club is multiple departments that make it click on and off the pitch. And it's just a huge success. And that's just the way I've been brought up to treat everyone as one and be part of it. And I think that if everyone pulls rows in the right directions per se, you've got no one rowing upstream against you. So we're going to be successful. And I think that's what's enabled us to be successful. The fact that everyone's in it together, everyone's stepping in the right direction. And it's allowed us to then concentrate on the football on the pitch and produce the goods.
Yeah, and I remember that, you know, in the Cavi Island glory days, it was that family-esque approach that were, and the fact that so many of those players then stuck around with the club, got involved in coaching and that sort of thing. I look and I talk to different people up and down the country, and it's those clubs that have got that mentality that then continue to be successful for a long while, not just like fits and starts. They're there for the long time, and everybody's there enjoying it.
Yeah, listen, and that's a testament to the people that have been involved in the football club prior to me, prior to probably when I was around, you know, back in when I think it was formed in 1920s or something. You know, that's a testament to them. And then obviously Jeff King brought along the glory years per se, you can say, when he built a team that was able to go and compete at the highest levels of non-league football, winning the FA Trophy, competing in the conference. And along there, we picked up fans, and there's fans that are coming out today that were kids when Jeff was manager and pushing them forward, and they're now enjoying it. So, you know, my predecessors have certainly been the ones that have built the foundations. And I think that it's just when you come into that football club, and I'm talking with, you know, the chairman, John Batch, who's been a youth coach, he's been the reserve team manager, he's been the first team manager, he's been director of football, and now he's the chairman. You know, when you see the togetherness that he's created and the multiple jobs and roles that he's taken on, it's just a testament to them people that they're continuing with the great work now. So then when we come into it, it's just a natural progression. This is how we work. You know, this is our sort of philosophy, and it's a family community club, and that's the way we want to push forward and try and compete at the highest level we can, but also ensure we've got that backing and support behind us.
That's great. I mean, you wouldn't get that sort of description of a John Batch description of any club in the Premier League, would you? Yeah, this proves as to what non-league football is all about and why we love it as well. I mean, away from the club, you've got experience, expertise in the logistics of sporting business and things like that. Do you stay out of what happens off the field at the club to concentrate on the field, or do you try and guide and give some support where you can?
I try to. To be fair, I'm the manager of the local golf course as well. So I get a lot of fans that come in here and play golf at my course every day. So I'm kind of like always in the firing line and being asked questions, etc. But to be fair, John Batch is the chairman, and Gary Sutton, who's the secretary, and Danny Hill was the manager. Billy Hill's on the board. He was a former player, Gary Britnell. So, you know, them people have got the expertise. You know, if they ask for some advice from me, yeah, 100% I'll give them. Do you know what I mean? But they tend to let me get on with the football side, and I'll let them get on with the running of the club. But as with any successful business, if there's a little bit of crossover and you can and offer expertise in them areas, then people do that. You know, we're not too proud to sort of say, I'm the manager, stay out of my side of things, or this is my job, stay out of it. It's a collective, and I think that, you know, many heads can create good business practices, and I think that, that's what's proved the roots of the success for this. But I think when you've got a chairman like John, who's had multiple roles at the club, now sort of heading the club up, he's got the confidence and the know-how to know how all the different departments work and can just bring it all together from the top.
Yeah. So your focus, and we're talking on Thursday evening ahead of your Friday night game. What about Brentford? Do you Brentford? What did you prepare your own game, or do you go run through various weaknesses and strengths you've identified with them? They've been close behind you all the way through, haven't they? So I guess you've been keeping an eye on them anyway.
Yeah. To be fair, I mean, they were in a similar situation. Rod Stringer went in there sort of mid-season, probably about the same time as I went into Canvey. To be fair. Or took on the manager role at Canvey when Mark left. And Rod's developed a great team there. You know, he's coached at the higher levels of non-league football. And one thing you always get from his teams are hard-working, honest players. You know, we were fortunate enough to play him when Rod was the manager, so we get an idea of his sort of style there. Obviously, we've done our homework now. They were one of those teams that, as we were fighting for the title, we were fearful that Brentford would be the team that could come up and potentially push us. And I think they just maybe run out of games. I think if it's a 44-game season like some of the other divisions, then you never know where Brentford could be, because they certainly had a good end to the season. They're second in the form table. So it's kind of fitting that it becomes second v third in the playoff final. We've looked at their games the last couple of weeks. We've spoke to people. You know, our focus now is to say, like, what are their strengths? What are their weaknesses? What are our strengths that can expose their weaknesses? And what are their strengths that we need to be aware of? So, you know, it's more just sort of like the fine-tuning of the tactics. We'll be in a training tonight and have a look at that and just sort of run through things. It won't be too strenuous at all, other than just sort of like a prep meeting to get ready for tomorrow, and hopefully we'll be fully prepared for the battle that's ahead, and what will be will be.
And I suppose, you know, the one advantage of it being a Friday night playoff game, you've got the weekend to yourself.
Bank holiday weekend as well. Could be the best weekend or the worst weekend of the season.
Well, as ever, Brad, it was the best interview I've had today. But fantastic to talk to you. I wish you well for the big game tomorrow night on Friday night, and hopefully we'll speak to you again soon in the very near future on the Non-League Football Show.
Yeah, Tim, I appreciate you, and I appreciate you taking the time to give us a call.
So we've got playoff games on Friday, on Saturday, and indeed Sunday. Chertsey Town and Hamble Town going head-to-head in the Isthmian South Central final for a spot in Step 3 on Sunday. But let's head to Step 3 now, and indeed Bank Holiday Monday. All four Step 3 playoff games on Monday, including my own side, Hayes and Yeddy United, taking on Farnborough in the Southern League Premier South. But in the Southern Premier Central, an old friend of the show also in action. Let's welcome him back to the Non-League Football Show, manager at Peterborough Sports, Mr. Jimmy Dean. Welcome back, Jimmy.
Cheers, Tim. How are you, mate?
Well, I don't know if anything like me. Monday seems a long way off, and it's just one of those games you want to get it out of the way, don't you? 90 minutes from glory, maybe longer if there's extra time and penalties if needed. Second against third for you guys as well. Are the butterflies kicking in for you yet?
Yeah, mate. It's been there for weeks, to be honest with you. We had a tough middle of the season with injuries and players leaving unexpectedly for work commitments or whatever else. A real struggle. We turned it around a couple of months ago, and probably 2-3 weeks into that, I knew we was just starting to look like Peterborough Sports again, you know. So for a long time now, I've been excited, not sleeping properly, I'll be honest with you. I mean, having a newborn and out with that either. The butterflies are in the belly, and you know, like, I'm really looking forward to it, mate, seeing if we can do it.
I'm hoping you do succeed, and Monday's going to be all smiles in Peterborough. But I mean, even if it is, your story. Every time I look at it, and I look at my notes and everything that I make around managers and clubs and that, and again, I don't want to blow smoke up your backside. But at the start of season 2015-16, I think that's when you took over at Sports. They're in Step 6 of the non-league game. You go on to win four trophies that season: United Counties Division One title, the League Cup, Northants Junior Cup, and another cup as well.
You built Hinchinbrook.
Very good. See, you remember them all. You've built a team. You started building a team with little help from some of the lads you used to play with. And I think that side was when you monikered the Formidables, because you'd won four trophies. It's sort of
You are good, mate.
You're picking up nicknames, and you've only just got into this game, you know. And then the next season, not only I think we debuted you then on the Non-League Football Show, because you were sort of flying so high, but you won the United Counties Premier at a counter. 112 points, 150 league goals, 205 in all comps. That made you the record scorers across the top 11 tiers of English football. And then we had COVID that got in the way. Two seasons disrupted. You still reached the, last 16 in the FA Trophy?
After that, we went up to step four. We got tied by injuries. We bottom at Christmas, but finished 12th when we got prize back. The next year, we won step four. Then the next year, we're going into COVID years now. We was top after 33 games of the league win now. And like you say, we was null and voided cruelly. And then last year, we only played six league games. We won two, drew three, lost one. We was just starting to get our mojo. But we ended up getting to the last 16 of the trophy, like you say, which brings us to here. And I'm keen to emphasise this point as well, Jim, when you talk about progress. I took over in 2015-16, which is 7 years now. Oh, it's my 70th year, whichever way it works out. But it's only the fifth season we've completed this season.
I think that's the amazing fact for me.
It's season five in my head. I know there's 2 years in between. It's not as though we was down the bottom and we're trying to make ourselves sound a bit better. You know, we was right up there the year we got stopped as well, mate.
And I mean, now, you know, if it wasn't for Banbury, you might already be in step two. But we've got a final in front of us. You've probably got quite a trophy cabinet behind you as well. You mentioned that, you know, maybe lost a bit of mojo earlier on in the season. Is that pizzazz back there now at Peterborough Sports? Is it all firing on all cylinders, ready for this one game?
Yeah, I think. I don't think we can be anything any better set. I mean, I say mojo, mate. It's injuries, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you build a dressing room, and you build it, and even training sessions, and you know, you build a dressing room to help you out in these moments and to give you momentum and all the rest of it. And after it's missing, it's tough, mate. It's really tough. And
well, I think going back to the last time that I think we had you on the show, that was when you'd done something like, you'd done 600 miles or something in the week to get back and forth to training. And I think one of the things we discussed then.
That was for one session. Yeah. I went from, I was Devon to Peter, but I was doing that twice a week, weren't I?
Yeah.
And this time I'd done that for 4 weeks.
And I think we discussed that because of COVID, there was even greater pressure on lads, you know, from families, from work, and that football couldn't always take priority. And I think that has disrupted many season. I look at clubs that maybe just missed out on the playoffs, and you look and you see like their availability of players that maybe in the last few weeks or just after Christmas or over the Christmas period, and you've got to think that it did play a part in them not, you know, making progress, getting in the playoffs or getting promoted.
Yeah, 100%, Tim. I mean, look, I can only talk from our perspective, you know, about, you know, I mean, look, no one's laid a glove on Banbury, that's the truth. They're far and away the best part over the season. I do think we could have made a bit more of an honest go of it, you know, if we had a kept play fit, but everyone's got their own story. We've had to have a little rebuild in the middle of the season. The keeper left at 2 weeks, 3 weeks notice. I've had him for 6 years. You know what I mean? Because he's got a new job. So I can speak for our perspective on that. And I think what you've had a lot of us as well is where people's been locked away for 2 years. The first thing that it's caused is injuries. All managers across the board have experienced this because I spoke to them. Start playing again, the body can't handle the load. But the second thing is obviously you've got families, you've got girlfriends. They play catch up with their social lives and their love lives and their way as well. So, you know, a lot of people have, you know, they've had a fish to fry, I suppose, mate, and they've done that, you know. Like, football's not for everyone else, I suppose, what it is for me. It might be if there was a manager, but You know,
I think you just burn the candle at both ends, because I know your family mean a massive amount to you as well. You just you're a bit like me. I mean, sleep, that's for wimps, isn't it? That's where
it's family and football. That's pretty much my life, mate. Do you know what I mean? 3 days around it with both from family and football. But you put it like that, right? Family and footballs are your priorities in life. What's more important, mate? Don't get no better.
I won't call upon you then if I ever have a question on the latest Netflix box set. Look, on Monday we've got a second and third game. A lot of these players are second against third. So are the playoffs doing their job? I don't know. How well do you know your opposition, Colville Town, and the threats that they pose? Because they've been pretty much neck and neck with you all the way through, with Banbury just ahead.
Yeah, mate, they're a great side. And listen, going back to that second and third, mate, it makes it a bit easier. Like, we're on 79, they're on 78. If you include the playoffs in it and you add the points on, whoever wins this game's got the most points this season, haven't they? Do you know what I mean? Like, we're not losing to a team that's 15 points behind us, nor are they. Like I said, I did an interview earlier, I said, you know, I'd be a little bit more bitter. I don't hide from that if that was the case. That's the rules, that's how it starts. I understand that. I think the fact we've gone in and we've not laid a glove on Banbury, they've won it by 20 points or whatever, and the fact that us and Colville, whoever wins would deserve it, you know what I mean, points wise, I think it gives us a free shot, mate. I do. Colville, what do I know about them? I mean, I've watched them quite a few times this year. They beat us 6-2 the first game. They hammered us. We just lost to Kings Inn, and yeah, we was a bit down, feeling sorry for ourselves. Went 2-0 up, and yeah, they've done a real job on us. The second game, I thought both teams were poor at our place. It was just coming out of that crisis. We had good players coming back, but they weren't fit. But I thought both teams were poor, but we won 2-0. You know, they've played well in one of the games. We haven't really played well. I think we're both two good attacking sides. We've both got weapons that can hurt the other team. You know, it's just, I think it's a real 50-50 team. I got respect for the manager and the team. They've got Billy Key there, big player, mate, at the level. You know, he's not playing. The only reason he's not playing professional football is because he doesn't want to. You know, we identified what's really good about them. I'm sure they've done the same. They look at two weaknesses for us, and we do the same at them. It's a real 50-50 game, mate.
And how important is the home advantage for games like this?
The way I'd put it, I'd rather have it than not. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. You know, like... I don't want to say too much because I might look stupid, but I'd certainly rather be at home than not. You know, they've played a game on Tuesday night. They've had 1,200 fans. Majority were Colville as well. You know, I'm hoping we'll have a similar number... For us, yeah. I don't care who you are. That, you know, that can't work against you, can it? Put it that way. It can't work against.
And you know, saying about how well you've done on the field, off the field as well. I mean, I guess when you first took over, at step six, a crowd of 100 would probably, something decent. And Tuesday night, semi-final against Alvechurch, had over 700 there. I mean, it shows that the club's growing all around.
Yeah, to be honest, this year, so I took over step six. I've been playing teams like Urchester, Buckingham, very respectable because it was the same level. Rouen, it was a big club drop down. It was those kind of teams. Our average list gate this year, the gates have actually gone down, which I think is criminal, really, considering, you know, we've made
we've
a good
system.
Yeah.
I think
it's criminal, really. That's Peterborough. But what I would say to him is we've not had the game to show. We haven't had the home game. We've got the fourth qualifier twice, got spanked by Fylde, and just lost to Kings Inn this year, 2-1. We haven't had the showcase game in Peterborough where people come and support you just because you're Peterborough and there's no outside on and home. Well, we had that Tuesday. We had that Tuesday and we got 740. And we're hoping... You know, a few of them will come back no matter what now. And if it's the game again, same again on Monday, we've got a showcase game now where hopefully Bank Holiday, even more people will come and get behind us, you know. And off the field, because, you know, we've got a long way to go. I mean, I dread it if we did manage to go up. I dread it, you know. Not because people don't try, just because you need so much more.
You just, I think what people don't understand, obviously I'm trying to put on a similar game in our playoff at the same level, and I'm sort of running stuff off the field there. People don't understand how difficult it is just to put a game on when you're running with volunteers, you're running with, you know, we've all got, everybody else is doing other things as well. And, you know, football and family are life, but that you, there's other bills that have to be paid as well. And some of the hurdles that you come up against, and it's just the sheer lack of numbers of people sometimes that just means that you hit hurdles.
Mate, I think that's where we've been. But don't get me wrong, there's more and more coming out and there's more and more helping. I think that's where we've been. I look at an example. When we started, the old chairman, Tommy Cooper, brought me down. You know, this is what we've got. I thought, this ain't too bad to step six. Do you know what I mean? I was at step four at the time. And he's... It's something in the clubhouse. Then you find out we didn't get nothing out of the clubhouse. Do you know what I mean? Then we found out the FA Trophy year in the middle of the pandemic that they'd sold the clubhouse to a doctor's surgery who's going to turn it into a car block. So we've now got no clubhouse. They won't take any money out of the clubhouse. But, you know, through the old chairman, the new chairman, being resilient, they've got a clubhouse up and running now, built our own clubhouse. So that's helping. You know, they had an irrigation system put in the summer. Like, there are big strides being made. It's just same old repeat with sports. Some, you know, the strides the team makes. It's been so fast. You can imagine it's hard to keep up, to financially compete on the pitch and then financially compete off the pitch. You know, we have an old clapped out minibus for our away games, £1,200. You know, we jump in that. I mean, it's broke down at the minute.
Could you be 100?
Exactly. You know, you talk next year, that ain't going to wash, is it, Tim? You know, you're going to be in a situation where we're going to need coaches. But that then's going to be like, well, I don't even know what they are, mate. What, they're grand a week, £1,200 every week. You know, if, obviously I'll say next year, if we went up, you know, it's a massive...
Well, it is that gap. And you know, I think the recent pyramid chambers have probably blurred the lines a little. And you know, from playing at a high level and sort of managing down lower, I think there is a noticeable difference between the steps as you go up, both on and off the field. And that step three to step two, I think, is probably one of the biggest that a club will have to make.
I think logistics as well, where you actually are on a map.
Yeah.
Defines it as well, because when we was in the United Counties League, Peter was in the middle, yeah? Mm. So, yeah, 45 this way, 45 that way. You don't think about the one who's got to do an hour and a half to cover it all, yeah? From end to end. Then we went in the Northern League, and if you imagine it's a rectangle, we was right in the bottom corner, the bottom right corner, and we had travel teams in the top left corner, but there was like 8 or 9 of the teams in that league were up there, like Leek Town, and, you know, you're talking 2.5-3 hours going towards Stokeway. Then we went into the Southern Central. Again, we was back in the middle of the league. That was nice. It weren't too bad. And then this year, even at step... Our travelling is less at this step three than it was in the Northern step four, because we're bang in the middle of the league. 2 hours service either way. We go into the North, if we did, all of a sudden we're back in the bottom right corner again. And you're driving up to the South Ports... You know, Gates says if they didn't go up, hypothetically, you know, and there's a lot of them up there, like Bryce Spartans. There's a lot, you know, and it's
a
real eye again, mate.
I mean, it's the whole day out for a Saturday, and again, football's life, lovely, and all that, but it's the midweek games that are logistically, you know, just to get enough seats. On the bums on the seats on the bench could be difficult on some of those midweek games.
Mate, well, I mean, I'm talking about my staff initially. I mean, I didn't get paid. I put in, if anything, until we got to step three. Not a lot, but I did little things like buy a burger man, buy a minibus. Do you know what I mean? Stuff that comes reimbursed before now, the new chairman. But I didn't even get paid at step three. And then, you know, like, I had a conversation with the chairman and he looked after me well enough. You know, fair play to him. He gave me more than I asked for. But we've still got the staff now, 4, 5, 6 of the staff, you know, that ain't in a great situation. Do it because they love it, you know. But because the travel ain't ridiculous at the minute, Tim, it enables it to do it. The big change, I think, will be if we did get up, it was going to have to take time off work because start going that way. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Regular, you're going to have to work at 1 o'clock. How the club deals with that is going to be, well, you know, be really difficult.
It is that you've got at least take the afternoon off work to be able to catch the coach to get up to the game, and then you know you're getting in at 1 o'clock maybe, and then as you say you might live an hour away from the ground, so you're getting in at two, so you're knackered then as a player or a coach or whatever for the next day going forward as well, and you've got to get through the rest of the week and then play on Saturday. That's where people like you that get that gel of the team together. Yeah, you're really worth your salt.
Yeah, mate, it's a real game changer, isn't it? Like, again, if we go up, it's a real game changer if it happens. It's obviously stuff that all teams in this playoff final would have thought about, because you have to. Can we handle it and all the rest of it? I'd like the opportunity to find out, I'll be honest with you. But I don't know, mate. We just suck it and see, get there and see what happens if it happens.
And I think you'll definitely give it your best shot. Jimmy, I better let you go because I'm sure you've got preparations to organise, but I always love your honesty, always love talking to you. And I don't think you're saying anything that there's not any other chairman that's in this position, any other manager in this position of playoffs this weekend, are probably all thinking the same. But Jimmy Dean, best of luck at the weekend and thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show.
No problem, Tim. You take care, mate.
Let's round off this week's news then. Time to head on over to our Non-League Paper Towers. Welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. Editor-at-large at the Non-League Paper, Mr. Matt Badcock. Welcome back, Matt.
Thanks for having me back, Tim.
Well, it's always a pleasure to get you on. And after the you've just got over the complications of Easter, we've got through the last weekend of the Step 3, Step 4 season, all the variables that threw up, I'm sure, on Saturday evening. A nice, quiet one ahead then, with a full National League calendar and a multitude of playoffs, some that are going to need previews, some that are going to need reports. I bet you love your job as the editor.
I was talking to a manager and I said, this is the fun bit. We're supposed to be the fun bit where we get to talk about all these promotions or hopes and playoffs and previews for the finals. And it's kind of nice to have it after a few years away. Obviously, the two seasons, we haven't really had it at all, other than the little bits of the National League stuff. But yeah, it's come back and hit me. It served as quite a harsh reminder of actually how busy this week is. But as I said to a manager, it's not a proper job, is it? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
You have to write it up. Not that it feels like that right now.
It's going to be a long week. And I quickly ran through the Step 3, Step 4 promotions and relegations known so far in the playoff games when I introed at the top of the show. But I wanted to get your take maybe on the interstep playoffs. And I'll be honest, I from the outset, I loved the concept. And I remember some changes in the ESPN League years ago where Yedding played a playoff against Lewis for an opportunity to get into the Conference South, as it was. The concept's great, but it's a bit like trying to cram clubs into regional leagues. And when you get to the practice of these things, the playoffs they seem to disadvantage clubs like Consett. I think they've got a near 500-mile trip to Histon this weekend on Saturday to play this one-off game, and you do wonder whether it's a level playing field and whether there might be a better solution.
Yeah, it's interesting. It'd be interesting to see how they kind of all play out. I mean, I'm not spoken to Consett, don't know sort of how they, you know, it is a long trek, but I suppose at the same time, I was just thinking, you know, you've got a chance to kind of go and win promotion, and it gives them that opportunity that may not have been there. I think that's one of the issues kind of, you say, with the National League system, where kind of things aren't always never going to line up and it's never going to sort of fall perfectly. We see that with the leagues every year, and you kind of have to do the sort of best in their eyes that they can do. And I know the guys there work really hard at trying to get things right. And I think with the points per game, where you've got different, you know, as you say, across different leagues, and there's always going to be kind of variables, and the sort of didn't start a kind of a particularly level playing field in the first place. Well, not level playing field, but like even numbers with the leagues. The divisions, because of everything that's happened with COVID, it's kind of, we're still in a little bit of reshuffle and reset mode this season. But I sort of feel like I do like the idea of them overall. I was kind of always used to be kind of a bit against these kind of things, but it does keep
I love the fact you look at kind of like the end of last week
that teams are kind of desperately trying to finish in that bit, you know, relegation kind of wasn't done. It was trying to get into that sort of bit to give themselves another shot of getting out of it, and then also trying to get away from, or if you're in that third bottom spot or fourth bottom spot, getting up again.
It kept the season alive, didn't it? On Saturday evening, I was watching the results coming in that Isthmian Premier at the bottom there, and I actually sent Luke Tufts a message because I felt so sorry for him at Leatherhead, where they'd done so well and then get that win on the last day of the season, owns to be beaten by sort of a late goal, which then changed all the points per game, and they end up getting relegated. But it kept the season alive to that very, almost the last kick of the game.
Yeah, and that's obviously, playoffs in themselves and things like this, generally aren't, it's not about the team finishing. If you're talking about taking the playoff example, if it's just because you finish second doesn't mean to say you're going to get promoted. They're not fair generally, are they? But it kind of, injects that interest. It keeps everything, going right down to the end of the season. We've seen that, with that one across step three of the points per game. And Phil, for Luke's done a great job since he's gone in there, and there'll be a lot to take on when that disappointment kind of subsides. They'll take a lot into next season to try and get back up under him. But step four and five, it's kind of, we see how the importance of movement through the pyramid, and that step five, there kind of always was that kind of block. Mm. So this has given extra team, this is obviously, some teams have gone straight up where they've finished higher across the country in points per game standards, but this has kind of given that extra opportunity for the others as well. And I kind of think that's, it's good to try these things and see how they play out. And I just think, unfortunately, they're never quite going to be perfect, and they've got, there are some long journeys. I think Skelmersdale got a trek as well, haven't they, coming down. So it's one of those, if they go down there and win, they're going home, they'll enjoy that coach ride home, and it'll be one of
the day they remember forever for the rest of their life, won't it?
Exactly. And I think, for the teams kind of down the bottom, it gives them, they've had hard seasons, and it sort of gives them that kind of chance for that. And it sort of, again, just stirs up interest, and that can only hopefully be a good thing. But it will be interesting to see kind of how they work out, and then sort of see what people sort of made them and whether they like them or not. I mean, it's difficult to gauge the mood sometimes until you've sort of seen it actually in action. So it will be fascinating on Saturday.
Yeah, well, lots of games to keep an eye on there. Of course, the playoffs have been affected by the ground grading failures as well. North Lee replacing the Wellington City in the Southern League Central playoffs, and indeed actually making the final on Bank Holiday Monday. I'll be honest, the ground grading things again seems to have hung over a bit too long, hasn't it? Risborough Rangers also missing out on the promotion from step five, and then Yorkshire Amateurs being demoted from step four, all on ground grading criteria. And to find that out officially in the last week of the season, again, I'm not sure what lessons we necessarily learned in those COVID years when we were kept saying, let's try and plan for the future so that everything's sorted out in advance. But always disappointing when I suppose red tape takes over the football. But I think in some of those circumstances, maybe money was invested in the wrong areas of the club.
Yeah, it's difficult to know any sort of different circumstances. We've sort of seen it so many times over the years, haven't we, with ground grading issues. It's kind of a sort of slight, it seems a fact of life in non-league, isn't it? There's always going to be someone kind of that will fall foul. You say we're willing Garden City, and they sort of feel quite a bit upset that the they didn't kind of find out until they thought they were in the playoffs and didn't find out till the Sunday. But I understand that there is kind of a regulation there that would have sort of, they weren't able to be spared relegation kind of thing, but it doesn't allow them to go into the playoffs because of the the regulations are quite sort of, you know, explicit from that point of view. So whether it's a communication issue, I don't know. I mean, obviously, it is at the last minute. It's kind of trying to get to the bottom of that one's a little bit tricky. But I guess this is, unfortunately, one of those.
Unfortunately, we've
not had it for the last couple of years, have we?
I think that's probably part of it, actually. I think because there was, clubs were given extra time, effectively, weren't they, because of the all the changes and moving up through the pyramid and that sort of thing. So it's almost as if people got excited a bit too much, a bit like when you accept the terms and conditions on a website. I mean, how many people actually read the terms and conditions? They just click through and they go and do whatever, or buy the app or whatever like that. And I think maybe that's where some of these clubs have come unstuck. They've just got a little bit too carried away and maybe not read fully all the terms and conditions and all the small print. Hopefully, again, lessons can be learned and, maybe some small tweaks here and there again for next season. I did mention at the top there that we've got a full National League programme and just, what, four or five games or so left for each club. And every week we keep saying Wrexham surely can't catch Stockport County, but the gap's now, what, 4 points? And ironically, this weekend, although Boreham Wood's playoff hopes are pretty much all but over now, they could hold the key to the title because they play Stockport on Saturday and Wrexham on Monday.
Yeah, huge weekend in the National League. I kind of feel like I've been so engrossed in playoffs and kind of all the everything that's going on there, the semi-finals and when the finals are going to be, it kind of in my mind, the sort of the National League, it's kind of getting right down to this crunch point now. And obviously last weekend we saw Stockport County lose to Yeovil, and you think, here's a chance for Wrexham, and they're playing in the late game against Woking, and they went also lost as well. And it's kind of funny how it goes, how it sort of works out. We kind of think, well, there's a chance there, and it doesn't quite come to fruition. Obviously, Halifax lost as well last week, so all the top three lost on Saturday. Wrexham obviously got back to winning ways in midweek, and they were 1-0 down to Weymouth quite early on. But as Wrexham have in their firepower, I think Paul Mullins gets his customary two goals. They've got great talent there, and Jordan Davis as well. We've got a couple of down at Weymouth as well. He's been excellent this season. I think he's gone to 20 goals. I think I saw a stat. He's the first. I think Wrexham tweeted the stat the other day that he's the first non-striker to get to 20 goals for a fair old while. So, but if Wrexham had beaten Woking last week, it would have been down to a point as we stand, and they could have been ahead of them by the time Stockport kicked off against Boreham Wood on Saturday evening if they won their game against Southend beforehand. But all ifs, buts and maybes. As it is, it's 4 points. Stockport still got that game in hand, which is obviously going to be key to where they are. But it could be a very interesting table come the end of the evening on Saturday. But there's also this big game looming on the horizon. Which is Stockport going to Wrexham a week Sunday.
That's
haven't had an easy trip to Chesterfield on Bank Holiday Monday. So it's kind of we are at that point now where everything matters, and Stockport are potentially a few games away from lifting that title, but at the same time everything could all change.
And it is another one that could quite easily just go down to that final weekend. It could still be something in it and some late twists. I mean, you mentioned Wrexham.
Or Stockport just win all their games and win it 3-0.
Well, they could. But
I sort of wouldn't put it past in the way they sort of where they are. It is interesting, but it kind of feels suddenly. It's like it felt like they were sort of so far ahead, and that feels like really close by.
I think that game in hand sort of it's a bit like foreshortening, isn't it? It's sort of like you look like you're nearly there at the pub, but you're not quite, because actually the road's actually much longer than you thought it was. So
and they haven't got an easy run. No, I think their game in hand is against Torquay, which it's not not the easiest game in the world. So they are, by any stretch. You know, Torquay had a decent side and sort of just missed out on the playoffs now, but they've been sort of have a difficult season compared to last year. You know, not quite good as well as they hope, but recently they kind of shown that form again. So it's definitely not an easy one for Stockport, but we will see. It's going to be very, very interesting.
Yeah, it's going to keep us talking every week. You mentioned Weymouth defeat to Wrexham midweek, which I think does confirm their relegation. And look at Kingsland Town. What are they? Eight points adrift now from safety, and they've only got three games to play. So it could be that they're confirmed with the same fate this weekend. Dover, of course, already relegated, but it would be nice, in one of their four games that they've clambered back that 12-point deduction that they had at the start of the season, that they could maybe add to it and maybe finish on more than the current null points. It just looks odd at the bottom of the table there.
Yeah, I think it's one of those in sort of years' time when you sort of see the tables and the history books, as it were. It will look a bit strange. So hopefully they can get into that sort of into the positive points, I guess. Mm. Just been a hard season, I guess, as everybody at the club knew it would be. It's just been a difficult few years for that club, and sometimes going down and having a bit of a reset and winning some games again can sort of really, really make a big difference for clubs. You sort of see how, why you don't, one at a time, taking a step back can sometimes propel you forward again. So that's obviously what they'll be hoping down there.
Mm. They've got Andy Hessenthal, a well experienced and knowledgeable manager, that keep staying with them, which will be able to sort of give them some assured future, I think, going down into National South there. The managerial merry-go-round still busy. Steve Lovell, though, he's enjoyed his time at Ramsgate, apparently, and has been made permanent as manager there, which is good for the non-league game, considering that he was in the Football League only a few months ago. Other movements, Yate Town have done so well this season, they're just missing out on the playoffs in the Southern Premier South. They're on the hunt for a new gaffer after Paul Michaels left them to take over at the recently relegated Merthyr Town. I think that's a move that fits a bit nearer to his home. Lewis Dark stepped up from the playing staff at Grays to take on the manager's job there, and I'm sure there's going to be many more switches in the weeks to come too.
Yeah, I think there's another one that's caught the eye today is Buxton manager Steve Cunningham's resigned just a few days after their title glory, and that's similarly sort of citing travel. From where he was, obviously he was at Colne before, and kind of come down and got Buxton over the line in again another gripping title race in the NPL Prem. But he sort of decided that it's not quite, can't quite keep the challenge of the commute, according to the statement, it's been a bit too much. So it'll be interesting, kind of, I'm sure we won't be out of work for long. There'll be people keen to snap him up, and obviously whoever goes in at Buxton's going in into a team that's just been promoted into the National League North, and kind of all that excitement, and we'll be kind of hoping to harness this, what they've got, and push them on. They've got a talented squad there, some really good players, and played at that level and higher, so they'll be looking to go in and kind of make a bit of a noise, I guess, in the National League North. That would definitely be of interest to quite a few people, that job as well.
Yeah, lots of talk, I'm sure, around that Buxton job in the coming days and weeks. And talking of lots of talk, two big talking points on social media, at least. The Southern League had planned a championship trophy game between the Southern Premier South winners Taunton Town and Southern Premier Central winners Banbury United. But this week, Taunton have pulled out, citing injuries and player availability. Lots of chat as to whether that's the sort of game that should be a pre-season precursor or because players have had a long season already. And I think that's really where Taunton are coming from, that they've hobbled through the end of the season and just for what is really essentially a friendly game at the end of the season, they just need time for their players to recuperate and get ready for the new season at National South.
Yeah, maybe it's something they kind of look at going forward, whether it could be in pre-season, whether that fits a bit better. You know, like the Community Shield is kind of that nice sort of curtain raiser. I mean, it's a nice idea. It's like when they did the FA Trophy and FA Vars. Yes. I know it's because it kind of fitted in with the fact that Hornchurch had won it, and obviously the league sponsors pitching in, and Warrington Rhines going into the Northern Prem. It was quite a nice idea as well, and in pre-season, and yeah, possibly they could look to, hopefully don't write it off, maybe they could look to arrange it Taunton and Banbury, or Banbury and Taunton, and in pre-season actually hold the game, because it's quite a nice little event actually, I think, and gives them bragging rights in the Southern League, although I don't know that they'll be playing each other at step two next season.
In which case, it probably fits very, very well as well, doesn't it? You do wonder whether
probably good in good future seasons. Both of them, really.
Yeah, in future seasons, whether it could be held anyway, because yeah, it could well be that those two clubs are then going to go and face each other, maybe in the National South, the following season. But I suppose everything's up for change. Talking of which, the other talking point on social media was the National League announcement of their playoff venue. The biggest game in non-league, as it's often billed. It's going to take place, as previously noted, on Sunday the 5th of June. The venue is going to be West Ham's London Stadium, and not been fully embraced due to the likely lack of any southern-based clubs in the final, and travel difficulties from the north, as we've seen with recent FA Cup semi-finals and things like that. It's one of those again, isn't it? There's only so many options that are available to them for the size of the crowds that are going to be needed there, and also for the late time in the season. The reason that they can't be at Wembley is because of the Women's Euros, and they needed an alternative venue. And it's a nice venue. It's a big venue. I suppose effectively it's the Olympic Stadium. So it's a notch for some of the players to play there. It's just obviously a bit of a trek for some of the fans to get to.
Yeah, and I kind of feel I'm sort of trying to think back through whenever the sort of the National League, since I've been at the paper, the promotion final hasn't been at Wembley, and sort of the years that it has kind of gone different places. I don't think I've ever seen everybody sort of jump up and down and say that's a great choice. I think you're always going to get it. I mean, I understand what people are saying kind of about that, but I think, you know, maybe people don't sort of here to do like the National League, sort of defend, you know, do their sort of batting for them, but it's not just a case of picking any old stadium and ringing them up and kind of, you know, booking in like you would like five-a-side or anything like that. You know, there's a lot goes into it. A lot of time would have gone into it over time. I know there was lots of other grounds they would have spoken to all over the country, and as you say, there's different things going on this year. There's the Women's Euros, of course, you know, other stadiums in the country as well, and UEFA have this long sort of period where they take certain sections of, you know, often take the whole stadiums on, and there's sort of like lots of different pop concerts going on as well that have been sort of knocked back from the COVID years. Lots of clubs are kind of ripping up their pitches as well, and it's very difficult to know exactly. You know, we can sort of pick sort of stadiums out, but until you know the exact sort of circumstances of each one, then it's not very, you know, it's difficult to kind of comment on it, because you don't, you know, people can say, oh, we're not here, but there might be a very, very good reason why not there. But also, I think, you know, there are still some people kind of saying, oh, you know, picking out certain stadiums. You think, well, if Wrexham and Notts County or Chesterfield, or, you know, a lot of the club, you know, they won't be big enough to kind of, sort yeah. of fill some of the demand, and there's policing things that come into it as well, and kind of things.
Well, even for me, you're trying to put on a playoff final on Bank Holiday Monday, the sheer logistics is difficult. We're going to have 1,500 people there. We're talking about games here that could get, what, 70,000 maybe, depending on the clubs that are there,
And I have sort of a week's notice as well. That's a sort of from a stadium and the logistics point of view, and everything that has to go into it, you know, you can't sort of decide a few days, you know, a week before where to go. You can't put things on standby and sort of switch between between two, because it's, you know, the costs that come, that kind of come with that. I mean, you know, and it is where the Olympics were held. I know people will, are sort of now frustrated kind of thinking about it in the future, but there's only going to be two teams there, and I'm sure that when the teams, whoever does get there, you know, I'm sure fans will embrace it. You know, if it would have been in Wembley, kind of Wembley, generally it is in Wembley anyway. And maybe, you know, clubs need to debate and decide where they, you know, do they, where do they want their playoff finals? Kind of, you know, is different. You obviously see it in the other leagues. We have them at home venues of the highest club. You know, that, I don't think that's realistic really for the National League, with the sort of the size of the clubs that are involved and the interest that there will be. And the National League always kind of wanted this, you know, a big, grand sort of showpiece, finale to their season. So.
And I'm not. I don't think I'm breaking any confidence here. I know that there has been discussions in the past, whether they've been formal or informal, or just sort of almost like pub talk, about whether those playoff finals, you know, could go abroad, even, you know, make it more of a showpiece. We don't want that. We, you know, the ability for fans to get to the game is the important thing. And as you say, I think if it's your club involved, you want to go out and enjoy the day, and you want to be there. I'm probably risking the wrath of Wrexham fans. I saw some of them complaining that it's also on the same day that Wales will be in this World Cup playoff final, which I think is going to take place in Cardiff, and they were saying, you know, the playoff date is now going to clash. But I think the playoff date's always been set in stone. It's a bit like, you know, is it club or country that comes first, isn't it?
Yeah, it's difficult, and obviously Wrexham, it might not even get there.
Indeed.
might have won the league by then, who knows. But, yeah, it is in the hand. But I was always had it in as a Sunday, the 5th of June. It's always sort of slightly caught me off guard when people were talking about when was the day, because I always thought that kind of when it was, because I've seen that in the handbook at the start of the season. And it is unusual this year where we are getting later and later, because of the season starting late, and that Wales game wouldn't have been
In anybody's contemplation.
That, you know, it wouldn't have been, yeah, you know, because, you know, there's like there's much, much bigger thing going on. That is the reason why that game has been pushed back, because of obviously everything that's happening in the world with Ukraine. And, you know, I guess there's still sort of no real knowing whether kind of what the situation will be when you even get to that. I mean, you know, will Ukraine semi get pushed against Scotland? Will that get pushed? But I don't know. You know, there's so many things up in the air, and that's very difficult for, you know, there's lots of hypotheticals. And yeah, I mean, it would be a very difficult decision if that was to be the case. But there's lots of other teams who'd be thinking they can get there as well. And, you know, I don't doubt Wrexham's chances at all if they're in the playoffs of getting there. You know, that is a very feasible outcome. You know, it's difficult. And
it could be another feast of football.
That's what it could be. It could be one of the best days of the, of their lives if it does happen. I'm sure there'll be some savvy bar owners in the local vicinity who will be very pleased to open their doors to any Welsh fans. But it's all, you know, it could, you know, there's so many things that can happen before then. It's so hard to talk about. And,
best laid plans, as always.
Probably done quite well to get something like that, really.
But, yeah. I'm sure if it, you know, it had been a smaller stadium, there would have been plenty of complaints as well that they're maybe not big enough to host it. And anyway, talking of you know, the best day in your footballing lives, Sunday, the non-league paper, plenty of ifs and buts still, and previews, reports and everything like that. But what else can we expect in this weekend's non-league paper?
It feels like ifs and buts if we get it finished at the moment. Looking through, we've got a long. Yeah, there's. Like I say, it is the fun part of the season. There's lots, so much going on. It's great talking to so many different people about, you know, what they've achieved, what they're trying to achieve, and it all feels real. And, you know, this is kind of what it's all about. This part of the season where, you know, things are being won and things are actually happening, and sort of forget what that feels like after two sort of curtailed seasons. And So we've got all the previews from the for the the one Sunday game and the Monday finals at step 3 and 4. So you've got the live games. There's an Isthmian North game on Friday night, and then one on Saturday, and then the 3 step 4 Northern Premier League games. So live reports from there, full reports from there. Obviously covering off the interstep playoffs as well, along with all the National League and the North and South. So still kind of plenty going on. I think it's a fair bit of step 5 and 6 football as well. So we've got plenty of that. That's the big focus is the sort of previews to the weekend. To the bank holiday weekend. Also got caught up with North Ferriby for their promotion last week through their playoffs in Northern Counties East. We've stepped back for that club. We kind of revitalised under their sort of in their new guise. What else have we got? We've got Adam Virgo Columns. I'm going to look at the National League title race and talking about the Oldham and Scunthorpe, who obviously had their relegations confirmed out of the EFL, and also a piece in there of Alan Dowson, the former well-known Woking, Hampton, Kingstonian, Morton Hirsch manager. I went and had a chat with Dowse, and he's been keeping himself busy since he's left Woking, but looking forward to getting back in at his next opportunity. So a nice piece in there with Dowse. It's always entertaining.
Always entertaining. And as is the non-league paper. Matt Badcock, thanks for joining us on the Non-League Football Show. We look forward to speaking to you soon.
Thanks, Tim.
That's it for this week. Thank you to all of my guests as ever, and thank you to everybody for listening. If you're heading off to a playoff final, enjoy it, and enjoy the fact that non-league brings that special magic into all of our lives. Before I go, congratulations must go to Hanworth Villa. Regular listeners will recall we spoke a few weeks ago with legendary Villa goalkeeper Terry Buss on their securing promotion to step 4 from the combined counties Premier North. Well, having secured the title 2, they last week finished the season with another clean sheet and a victory, meaning they stayed unbeaten throughout the 34 league game season. A tremendous feat at any occasion. 94 out of 102 points collected, and a record which will forever be difficult to beat, I'm sure. Congratulations to all at Hanworth Villa and Terry Buss as well, who recently joined us on the Non-League Football Show. Don't forget, you can follow us throughout the season and join in throughout this week on social media at Non-League Show. Myself there at Tim Fuel, F-U-E-L-L. And you can find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, GeoSavin, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Republic via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. Stay safe. Enjoy your football. Thank you and goodbye.
Jibber Jabber Production. JIBBA JABBA